Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Welcome to The Flight by Yuengling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks snap a five-game winless skid by beating the San Jose Sharks 6-3. Here at the United Center, it's the last game here at the United Center before the Olympic break, because the Hawks will be on the road on Wednesday, and then they'll return from the Olympic break with a four-game road trip. So the next time the Hawks are going to be here at the United Center is March 6th. And so what a way for the Blackhawks to kind of go on a month hiatus from the United Center with a big 6-3 victory. And Steve Conrad, what better way to go out as well with some happy organ music by our girl Carrie Marcotte? How about that?
All organ music is happy organ music. I guess maybe not. But after a win, it sounds especially sweet. So, yeah, what a way to end your homestand before. When was the last time? When's the next time we're going to be here?
March 6th against the Vancouver Canucks. So 35 days?
Just a little over a month, yeah. So pretty convincing win, too. I mean, I guess at times you might have gotten a little worried. I got a little worried when it was 5-3 and San Jose rung a couple off the post.
We kept looking at each other like, I think that's two. And then there was a third one later on in the third period of the post.
Yeah, Ryan Smith with a couple. But, yeah, I think overall, boy, you got to feel happy for the Jason Dickinson line. He, Mikheyev, and Donato, they were all over the score sheet. They were all over the ice. And let's not forget about Spencer Knight. He made some really, really quality saves in that third period. When you'd think the team could maybe take their foot off the gas a bit, they couldn't, and Spencer Knight just kept him in there, and he was a big part of this victory, too. He is now 16, I believe he is 16, 15, and 7 on the year.
Yep. This was a weird game, too, because the first period, there were only 5 shots on goal total for both teams. San Jose had 1, the Blackhawks had 4, and that's despite having 3 power plays for the Blackhawks. And so it was a very low-event game in the first period. And then chaos ensued in the second, where I feel like I couldn't keep up with what was happening with all the goals and the power plays. And, you know, you had the San Jose pulling their netminder. It was just a lot happening. And so it was nice for once, Steve, that the Hawks were on the other side of a lopsided second period. You know, the Pittsburgh game didn't go their way. But it was nice that Chicago was on their end of scoring 4 second period goals.
Yeah, in that Pittsburgh game, it was 1-1 after one, and we were pretty happy with the way Chicago played, and then it just went out the window in the second period. In this one, 6 goals were scored in period number 2. But I think for the most part, you know, the Blackhawks were in control. And, you know, aside from, you know, maybe a couple of puck management issues and, you know, maybe thinking a little too much offense. You know, when you've got, I guess it was a 5-1 lead at the time, you don't really need to be taking any chances. The other team has to push to try and get back in the game. And that's when you can take advantage of them. But, you know, that's something you learn. And you know, there wasn't a fatal problem tonight. They ended up winning the game 6-3. So good for them. Let them enjoy this. Hopefully they can go into Columbus and repay the favor of Columbus coming in here and winning a game. And then they can take, what is it, literally 22 days before their next game. So they can go away. They can feel good about themselves. They can re-energize and then kind of have a little mini training camp before they hit the Olympics, because I guess we only have the one guy going to the Olympics. As of today, we only have one guy going to the Olympics.
Yeah, Teuvo Teravainen and Blackhawks assistant coach Anders Sorensen will obviously be part of the coaching staff
Well-deserved for Anders. Yeah, he'll be a big part of Team Sweden, who have a great chance of bringing back a gold medal, too.
You mentioned the third line, Jason Dickinson, Ryan Donato, and Ilya Mikheyev. They combined for 10 points in this game, 3 goals and 7 assists. Early in this game, that was the third line, and it quickly became the second because Jeff Blasho kept putting them on the ice because it felt like they were really feeling themselves. And so we don't know. They're typically tasked with defending the opposition's top line, but I imagine that feels really good for them to have an offensive party in the way that it did, because it's rare that they get opportunities like this where they're just really feeling themselves offensively.
What I like about them is all three of those guys can skate. You know, Mikheyev's a great skater. Donato's a good skater. Jason Dickinson, I think, an underrated skater. And they push the pace, and they push the other team back. And when you push the other team back, it gives you a little more space to make some moves. And we saw some moves from Ryan Donato. You mentioned it. Maybe the prettiest goal, second prettiest goal this year. Sam Lafferty had a real pretty one against the New Jersey Devils earlier this season. But that move by Ryan Donato on Vincent Desharnais was just absolutely breathtaking. And then even the pass by Dickinson in that second period, just that sweet pass to Mikheyev, who had to pick it out of the air, but that's a pretty play. And I think that was the only way he was going to get him the puck. That's a special play. And those guys have basically played together. I'm going to say it's got to be at least 35, 40 games now, and I'm talking about Dickinson and Mikheyev. So they know each other well. I think Ryan Donato's fitting in really well in this line. I don't know how many times he's played with those two, but when you have speed and then you start to get some chemistry, you can do some damage, and that's exactly what they did tonight.
All right, let's talk about the two headliners, Connor Bedard versus Macklin Celebrini. Felt like both sides delivered. Connor Bedard found the back of the net for the third consecutive game. Felt like he was moving the puck pretty well. And then Macklin Celebrini, that was my first time watching him live in person. Boy, oh boy, did he deliver. I mean, scores a goal, adds an assist. He has 9 shot attempts, leads all skaters with 5 shots on goal. I mean, and he took 21 faceoffs. He won 12 of them. I mean, no surprise that he just became a lock for Team Canada, because he is as advertised and more for the San Jose Sharks.
It seemed like when he was on the ice, things were happening. Even in that first period, he made a pass to Will Smith, who was breaking through the two defensemen. Will Smith had to bunt it out of midair, but that was kind of a set play. And those two guys, Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini, certainly have a special chemistry. You're right. Good things were happening when Celebrini was on the ice. He reminds me a little bit of Connor Bedard. It just seemed that he's making passes that nobody else can see. Connor Bedard can see them, but not many other guys. He's got a good shot. Not as lethal as Connor Bedard's shot, but he's got a really good shot. I was impressed with his play away from the puck, too. He tracks back hard. He's a great back checker. It's not just all offense with him. He's pretty responsible in his own zone. Hard to believe it's just a second year in the NHL, because he gets it, and he's going to be a good one for a while.
Yeah, and same with Connor Bedard. We talk about the two-way game. Bedard has evolved in such a significant way from years 1 and 2 to year 3, and how he's become a really dependable two-way player. The Hawks went up against Colorado earlier in the year, and Bedard's line went up against Nathan MacKinnon, Marty Natchez, and Cale Makar, and all the statistical categories favored Chicago when the MacKinnon-Makar line duo was on the ice. And so that speaks volumes to how big of strides Bedard has made in the two-way game as well. And so I think Connor takes pride in that too. Like, he doesn't just want to be known as an offensive scorer, a playmaker. Like, he wants to be depended on in tight game situations. And I think Celebrini and Bedard, while they are different players, it feels like they both take pride in the competitiveness and wanting to play winning hockey.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, Charlie, because, you know, Jeff Blashill, the head coach, had an opportunity to play the Dickinson line against the Celebrini line, but instead he puts out the Bedard line. Well, and Frank Nazar was taking the faceoffs, but it's basically the Bedard line. So it's like big dog against big dog. Show me what you got. And he wasn't afraid to put, you know, Connor Bedard out there against their best players. So much like they did against Colorado and MacKinnon, and he didn't disappoint in that game either. You're right. His game defensively has come a long way. I think, and I pointed it out earlier, I think it's just his will. He's just got a will now. He's always had the skill. He's had a great shot. He had an NHL shot when he was 16 years old. Skating has improved, but the biggest thing I see right now is he wants to be a winner. He wants to get to loose pucks. He wants to win faceoffs when he was taking them. It's just those little things. It's that compete level, and that I think has really grown to his benefit, to the team's benefit, and that's why the coaching staff not afraid to put him out there against the best from the other team. So, yeah, he's really improved in that category also.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because so we have the opportunity, the TV broadcasters and the radio broadcasters, we get to talk to Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill off to the side after every morning skate, just kind of talk through the game, what to look for. And usually we're like, you know, which line matchups are you going to play tonight? And typically it's like Dickinson against Draisaitl, Dickinson against McDavid, right? You know, all that. Mm-hmm. And we talked to Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill earlier this morning, and, you know, we're like, Dickinson against Celebrini? And he's like, nah, I think we're going to put Connor up against Celebrini. And, like, we all, like, rubbed our hands, like, oh, yes, this is going to be fun. And I think Connor probably would be the first to tell you, too, like, hey, I want that matchup.
Yeah.
You know, because that's, he wants to be able to, both sides are competitors, right? And they want to be able to play against the other team's top players. And so when I heard that, my ears perked. I'm like, oh man, it's going to be a fun one tonight at the UC. And
I think everyone did. Yeah. And I think you realize too, when you're up against Celebrini, you're going to be getting a lot more ice time. Well, I mean, Connor Bedard normally gets tons of ice time anyway, but you know, you're going to be out there basically every third shift. And shout out to Jeff Blashill. Not many coaches do what he does with us, and he's got better things to do.
Yeah.
He spends sometimes 10, 15 minutes with us after he talks to the press in general. So, Jeff, I know you're not listening, but thanks for your time. He comes up with insight that is just precious for our broadcast, but you see what kind of a hockey mind he is. He really thinks hockey 24/7, and he thinks the game through and through.
He thinks the game at such a high level. Sometimes I get lost in what he's saying, and like I forget to ask what I actually want to ask him, because I'm just listening to his wisdom. And so it's really beautiful to listen to. And it was cool to hear him earlier today say, you know, yeah, I think we're going to put 98 with 71. I think that's a good matchup. Contributions all around in this game. Like, Connor Murphy picks up another goal, his fourth goal in 14 games after having zero in his previous 42. Funny how hockey works that way. Sam Rinzel finds the back of the net. I mean, that's got to be a big confidence boost for him. You know, just go up and down the lineup. And then obviously we talked about Chicago's third line. It's just, this is one of those feel good wins for the Hawks, where even though it wasn't the prettiest, like, there are obviously things to clean up. It's always fun when everyone gets cookies, you know, and then, you know, you get to, like, go into the next game feeling loose about yourself.
Well, it's funny. I had the conversation this morning with, Connor Murphy, because I talked to him before the Pittsburgh game, and he scored in Pittsburgh, right? It was three games ago. So he's got two goals in three games. And I said, well, you got to talk to me again because you scored. He goes, yeah. And he goes, it's funny. He says, I'm feeling, whenever I get the puck, I'm feeling good. And there's something about even guys who don't score. And I didn't score a lot in the NHL. I played almost 900 games, and I think maybe I had 27 total goals. But there was, I think it was one year I had 10 goals, and it's like, I just knew that the puck was going to go in for me. And right now he's got that confidence, and I'm glad to see it because he's playing great. There's going to be a team that wants him. And I know the Blackhawks would love to re-sign him, and they very well could, but they could garner the team some really good draft capital if you could trade him just before the trade deadline. Doesn't mean he can't come back here, and I know his wife's from the Chicagoland area. That he could sign another contract with the Blackhawks, but if he wants to win a Stanley Cup, if he wants to, you know, possibly go far in the playoffs, he could maybe, you know, pick his own team right now. And there's a bunch of teams who would love a right-handed defenseman, a big guy who kills penalties, and that's what he does right now. And there's, you know, just so many good parts to his game. And Sam Rinzel, I'm glad you pointed him out too, because that's important for his confidence. Listen, very early in my career, I was sent to the minors, Oklahoma City. It was Calgary Flames farm team. So I spent about 6 weeks in Oklahoma. It's the best thing that can happen to you because it brings you back to earth. You get serious about your craft again. And you work on your game. And I can just tell from his confidence that he's worked on his game. He's got an extra ice time down there. He comes up here, he scores the goal. Just see him waving the fans to get them standing up. I mean, that takes guts to do that. So, you know, good for Sam to do that. And he was effective in this game again, using his speed, using his length, using his body. And I've said it before, and it bears worth repeating. Probably takes about 250 games for a defenseman to really feel comfortable in the NHL. So, you know, he's got another 2 years of growth. But right now, he's growing before our eyes.
Last one for you. Kind of buried the big lead here. The Hawks' power play drought is over. Mm-hmm. It has ended. Hawks find the back of the net in their first power play, snapping an 0-for-27 drought over the last 10 games. I actually think it was 11. The one power play trickled into the Nashville game, so
right.
Technically, I guess, 11 games. But, Connor Bedard was mic'd up in this game, and they panned to him on the bench when he got back to the bench, and he was like, finally, after he scored the... So that's a weight lifted off Chicago's shoulders, finally getting one on the power play.
Well, Listen, Teuvo Teravainen is such an underrated player, and he really made that power play goal, that pass through the box. And I'm just going to take a quick look at Teuvo because, you know, during that drought, that power play drought, I know Teuvo was injured. So right now I'm going to look, and he was out for 6 of those 10 games. You take a guy like that out, it really hurts your chances on the power play. He can see passes that other guys can't. He can make passes that other guys can't. And he made that pass to Connor Bedard right in his wheelhouse. Connor, you know, of course, one of the best shooters in the NHL from a sharp angle, buried it. But Teuvo means an awful lot to the power play. I've seen some really good looks from the power play over the last 3-4 games. Teuvo is a big part of it. So, that helps. And I think that's a big monkey off their back going into Columbus now. They're going to feel a little freer. It's not like we're 0-11 now. We're 0 for right. Our last 11 games, 0-31 or 41 or whatever, 31, I guess it would have been. So, feel good about themselves, feel good about the win. And now the talk will be, guys, we got one more game before the break. Let's give it our all because we got 3 weeks to rest, and I think you're going to see a real strong performance from them in Columbus.
I hope so. It's a dangerous game. The game going into the Olympic All-Star break, whatever it is, it's out. You never want to overlook that. And so hopefully the Hawks can piggyback off of this big win. Steve, great stuff as always. We'll talk on Wednesday in Columbus.
Charlie, way to go. You too.
The Blackhawks snap a 5-game winless skid after beating the San Jose Sharks 6-3. Ryan Donato was named the number one star of the game with 2 goals and 2 assists. For 4 points, he also had he had a +5 rating, which led the entire team, also obviously led all skaters. Let's hear what the number one star of the game had to say about this big victory.
It's been a little tough to come by the last couple games. Am I stepping out first like that tonight?
Yeah, no, it's great. Obviously, we had a lot of guys get on the score sheet tonight, and, you know, that's what we work towards every game, and, you know, it's fun to play that way, and, you know, it's definitely great to get the win.
It seemed like you were feeling frisky tonight. You had a couple of big moves out there.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I always say when I get to go to church on Sundays, that's when I feel good for the games, and I felt good tonight, so, yeah.
You've been looking for some more of that offense and feeling like you're getting chances, and do you feel like this could, you know, after the break, maybe propel you a little bit?
I hope so. I think that's the kind of thing you need. Like, you build momentum. You got, you know, I think I got a lucky point on the first one where I tried and shoot, and it gets to Grizzy, and he makes a good play, and or Dickie, I forget what happened, but I think at the same time it's just, you know, getting those balances every now and then. You have plenty of chances that, you know, should go in that don't, and then sometimes they don't deserve to go in and they go in. So hopefully that's a good sign for the future, and, you know, I'm going to continue to work to hopefully help the team win more games.
How nice was it to be able to give the crowd a win before the break?
It's awesome. Obviously they're super passionate and dedicated to us, and, you know, we had that signing yesterday where we got to meet a lot of fans, and, you know, you just feel the, you know, electricity from the fans, how excited they are about, you know, the future and, you know, the present right now. And obviously we got to, you know, finish strong with the next game, but it's definitely great to get a big win in the building.
Sounded pretty rowdy in here too after the game.
Yeah, guys are pumped up. I think, you know, you got to enjoy the little things, right? I think guys will enjoy it, but also, you know, move pretty quickly to be focused for the next game as well.
That first one you scored, where does that rank up there for you among your...
Honestly, that's a good question. I haven't even watched it yet. I know I got buried after it, so it hurt a little bit. But, you know, I was lucky to go in, and, you know, a lot of guys made a good play to make that happen. So,
how have you been able to develop such seemingly quick chemistry with McKay and Dickinson?
They're easy to play with, right? They're so predictable. I mean, Dickie's a great centerman, very reliable, and then Mickey's a workhorse, and he always makes the right play. So those are the type of things you look for in players, and if you can help them be better, they help me be better. So I think at the same time, we kind of work off each other, and when you play like that, it's fun.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato, a 4-point performance for the Blackhawks, named the number one star of the game. He had just 4 points in his previous 14 games. So this had to feel good for him to kind of just have an offensive outburst in the way that he did. Another multi-point performance, Connor Murphy scored his 4th goal in his last 14 games after having 0 in his previous 42. I was worried that he wasn't going to want the month of January to end because all 3 of his goals to that point had all come in January, but he has carried that over into February. Let's hear what Connor Murphy had to say about this victory.
Just keep firing away, huh? Yeah, making jokes that goal scorers score 5 holes at a time, so it's sometimes what I'm trying to implement.
How much is this a relief for all of you guys right now?
Relief, we've had some tough losses and games where we felt like we went overtime in the shootouts, where we felt like we had good performances, and whether we gave up a lead or whether we couldn't close it out, it's hard. Played a lot of great teams before this in our schedule, and tonight it was nice at home, our last home game before the break, to really put an effort and honestly just get the goals. I think that gives guys a little bit more energy and confidence, and obviously we want to talk a lot about defending first, and I think some of those goals led to that, but also when you're able to offensive guys to see them go in, I think it gives more confidence for the rest of the game.
4 goals in 4 weeks, is that just hockey being hockey?
For me, no, nothing different. I think it's kind of ebbs and flows like that as a defensive defenseman. You just happen to get shots that go through, or you happen to get looks that that give you a chance more than others. So that's it's just, I don't want to just say lucky, but there's a little bit of luck, yeah.
Though it seems like you've played pretty well since during this tough stretch. How have you felt about your overall game?
I felt pretty good, yeah. I think I felt healthy lately, and feel like I got in a groove playing with Grizz as a partner for a while, and I think some of it comes from just being confident defending with your partner and system, and then after that, trying to be a little more poised at the puck and make passes and breakouts and simple things that aren't crazy, but with my game, I'm going to be able to make breakouts and not cause turnovers that lead to more D-zone time, then it's usually able to have more flow and better defensive shifts.
How big was it when they got close, Mikheyev scored, and then he set up the Donato goal to kind of kill him?
Yeah, and that's where an example of defense leads offense. I think games that we've won before this year have come from that, and whether it's getting a whole zone shift that gives us a power play, or whether it's them that they're able to track and back check and get opportunities go the other way, and that leads to a few of their goals. Actually, the one Donato had a really nice move and off the rush that we defended first, and then at the end, we had a long D-zone shift, and then Mickey seems to have just that extra gear. He doesn't get tired to blow by defensemen, and that leads to other goals.
PK's at like 93% now since January 1st. It's just like, how confident are you guys every time you're out there?
It's nice. He had a couple good chances tonight, but I think like our pressure's been good lately, and we've been able to anticipate and jump and keep them from getting sustained zone time. So I think that's big, and I've said before, just confidence in having partners and pairs, and our four groups and deep pairs have been healthy lately to build some camaraderie and consistency with how we go out there and defend.
It helped that Connor stopped the power play drop.
Yeah, Connor did, yeah. It wasn't just Connor. It was other people, too, that made plays on that. But, it was big. Honestly, it was kind of funny. Me and Vlas were laughing. They scored 3 goals in a row on us this morning in the power play and morning skate. And we were, like, kind of not happy but also chuckling, like, hopefully that gives a little juice. And it did. So after he scored, Vlas looked at me and he goes, we gave him some confidence this morning. But they were moving the puck well. We worked on the power play a lot yesterday and this morning. And those guys have been working hard to get them going. It's really nice to see that.
What have you seen from Sam Renzo since he's came up from Rockford?
Yeah, he's been steady with his game. And he always shows that poise of the puck. And tonight you saw him kind of a one-man breakout. Sometimes he'll lead the rush and go into the offensive zone, and he's got that ability, and for him to sneak in and get a goal tonight I think is really big and feeds his offensive game, which we really need, and it's fun to have him back and see his confidence in pro game continue to grow.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Connor Murphy. Scores yet another goal in this game, his fourth goal in the last 14 games. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Murphy ahead of the trade deadline. I believe the Blackhawks now have 5 games left. I'm counting here in real time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 games left, and then the 6th game is actually on deadline day. So obviously, essentially only 5 games left for the Blackhawks. Man, if Connor Murphy is going to get snatched up by another team, that's... I feel like the city of Chicago will be rooting for him to have some success because he's been such a pro here. You know, just leader on and off the ice, and so it's been great to have him here in Chicago for the many years. But I guess we'll have to see what happens, and obviously the Olympic break is going to be starting in a few days here, and I wonder if there's going to be any movement ahead of time before, so teams can kind of get out ahead of it. But something we'll have to monitor. All right, last one. Let's do Jason Dickinson, who is part of that third line trio that combined for 10 points. He had 2 of those 10. Let's hear what Dickinson had to say after this game.
When you came in today, you looked like you were going to have fun tonight. How fun was this game for you guys?
Yeah, it was good. Our line was clicking. Donnie and Mickey are on a different level, and I just kind of got to ride them.
Greg, going against the Celebrini line, what is that like taking on that matchup?
Yeah, he's an impressive player. Obviously, I've been following what he's doing this year, but to play against it live, you know, he does a lot of the little things really well, and then his skill is obviously top tier. So, you know, a guy that battles that hard and then has the skill to match it, you know, he's going to be and is currently a very special player.
McKayev does so many things defensively and kind of under the radar. How nice is it for him to have a big offensive game like this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's kind of a guy that's the epitome of details. He does everything right. He battles his heart out every single game. So he's very deserving to have a successful night like that.
Penalty kill's been red hot lately and played a big role in the win tonight. What are you seeing out there that's working?
We're all very aware of what we have to do out there. There's obviously an extra guy out there, so the reads are not exactly the same every single situation, but everybody knows in these situations who's got to go and who's got to support and who needs to be the middle coverage, who's got to attack the wall. So we're on a good stretch here where guys just know it's instinctful, and it's not like guys are overthinking it and running out of position to open up space, because that's what the power play wants. It's that they got to drag somebody out of coverage to create space and then create their opportunities.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Jason Dickinson. Let's dive into our ice times for tonight, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Wyatt Kaiser leading the way for the Blackhawks at 21 minutes and 18 seconds of ice time. Right behind him was Alex Vlasic at 20:49, and behind him, Sam Rinzell at 20:38. Connor Bedard led all forwards for the Blackhawks with 20 minutes and 42 seconds of ice time. Let's hear from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill after his team's 6-3 victory over San Jose.
Offense has been kind of hard to come by the last couple of games. Nice to have the outburst that you did tonight.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's nice to be able to score, honestly. And the other thing it does is, you know, when guys score, they feel better about themselves. It gives guys confidence, and confidence matters a ton in every league, but certainly in this league. So, you know, hopefully we can carry that forward a little bit.
In the room after the game, that felt like a big cathartic win for them.
Yeah, it probably was. You know, like we haven't won enough lately, and then just to be able to score, and you know, listen, as a coach, you'd love to win 3-1 and, you know, all that stuff, but to score six matters. And again, I think guys feel better about themselves when that happens, and I know how important confidence is, so it was a good thing for our guys.
How good was Ilya McCabe tonight?
Yeah, really good. You know, I thought the line was really good. You know, between Connor and Dickey's line, they were out there against Celebrini. They kind of shared it at different times. And, you know, Mickey just continues to be a really good player for us. He night in and night out. He just competes so hard. He wins puck battles. There's a simple kind of greatness to him. It's not, you know, necessarily flashy-ish. He skates really well, but, man, he just really works and wins puck battles and defends hard and gets the puck on a stick because of it. And it's kind of a good lesson for everybody in our room.
Been asking about Donato's, I guess, lack of offense compared to last year. 4 points for him, including some pretty highlight reel plays. What did you see from him?
Yeah, no, I thought he played well. You know, when he's played on that line with Mickey and Dickey, they've done a good job. He's generally played pretty well. You know, as I said to you earlier, I mean, some of this is always opportunity driven, and you know, when you're playing on that line, you're going to get more opportunity, and good for him to take that opportunity and kind of run with it a little bit. And you know, it's a big night for him. We were hoping to get him that third one, but it was a big night for him.
Switch the D pairs a little in the third period. What was the reason?
We were just struggling a little bit on a couple of our pairs, so we just made a couple switches. You know, I thought Murph was having a good night, and so we kind of moved Murph up with Vlas to ultimately go out against the Celebrini line.
All right, that was Blackhawks Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill talking about his defenseman and rearranging the decks just a little bit. Time now to dive into a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Let's go to Rockford, where we check in on the goaltending situation. Stan Berezinoy ended up starting in back-to-back games Saturday and Sunday, because Drew Chamesso was placed in concussion protocol. So it was back-to-back games in back-to-back days for Berezinoy. The first game on Saturday made 23 saves on 27 shots for an .852 save percentage. Bounced back, though, with 23 saves again, but this time on 25 shots, with a save percentage of .920 on Sunday. So good to get good for Breznoy to get some reps there. But hopefully Drew Commesso isn't out for too long over with the Ice Hogs. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks will not be back at the United Center until March 6th because their final game before the Olympic break will be happening on Wednesday night in Columbus, a 6 o'clock puck drop. Pregame is at 5:30, and it's going to kick off a five-game road trip for the Blackhawks. Obviously, one in Columbus, then four out of the break on the road. The Hawks know Columbus pretty well because they just saw this team here at the United Center on Friday. The Blackhawks lost 4-2. I imagine Connor Bedard's going to want a little redemption from the missed opportunity in the last game that he looked really frustrated that he missed the top half of the net late in the third period that would have tied the game. Hawks end up losing 4-2. Columbus is really hot, but Connor Bedard is also heating up. He's now on a three-game goal streak, and I imagine he's going to want to go into the Olympic break with a hot streak. So we'll see if the Hawks can put a bow on the first half of the season on a positive note in Columbus.